Welcome, everyone. This is a special Graduate Network call, and we're going to be working on holiday marketing. And I know it always seems a little soon to be thinking October. What the heck are we talking about holiday marketing? We've still got plenty of time. And the truth is that we don't have plenty of time. The holidays are a great marketing opportunity. It's a good time to reinforce our relationships and build rapport with existing and even new referral sources. It's a great time to acknowledge and appreciate the referrals we've gotten throughout the year. It's a time to meet some new potential referral sources. And it's a good time to get the staff involved in your promotion for the holidays. And especially true, it's a good time to get a head start on your competitors for the marketing effort. And what we've found that if we don't get started in September or October, it's unlikely that we really take advantage of the holiday marketing. So this is Mark Powers, obviously, and on the call with us is Sean McNallis. Sean, could we just welcome you?
Hi there. Glad to be here. Anxious to talk about holiday marketing.
And so what I'd like to do is, as we go through this process and as you listen to this segment, Sean and I are going to work through a number of examples of what other people have done with their holiday marketing. And then we're sort of going to give you a roadmap for some things that you can do. And we'd like you to come away from this particular call with a game plan for your holiday marketing. So out of the examples, take notes, do what you need to do, and at the end, we're probably going to do a little open question and answer, and we're going to ask you what you're doing on your what you're going to do for your holiday project. The other thing you may want to do to ensure that your holiday projects come off well, you're going to decide on who on your team will head up the holiday project. So as we go through this segment, think about what you'll do, who you'll do the holiday event for, or what holiday activities you'll do them for, and then who's going to head up the project. We recommend it not be you, the team leader. We recommend it we be someone in the law firm, a marketing assistant, ideally. But with that, we'll go through a couple of examples. Sean, you want to start out with an example?
I wanted to tell you about a team of attorneys who got together with their paralegals. They had a very nice townhouse in, this actually was in a larger city. They had a townhouse office. It was two or three stories. And they decided that they wanted to make their holiday party an open house and also use it as sort of their signature event. In other words, the event that they would hold on a yearly basis that hopefully was kind of a desirable invitation. They wanted to do this to showcase their firm, and they wanted to, in addition, have a charity tie-in. So they asked everyone to bring a wrapped toy or a wrapped book in order to get admission to their holiday open house. And then they later donated those gifts to the firm's charity that they had designated. And this is something that all of you can do, too, on another sort of a smaller basis, if you like. They also, in order to make more of a memorable event out of this affair, they went to a local culinary school, and they hired a student chef, and they had him sauteing shrimp at one of the many food stations that they had set up around the firm. They wanted people to circulate upstairs and downstairs, so they had literally different food stations set up with student chefs cooking. They also had students dressed as waiters who moved through the crowd and served drinks and appetizers. And this left the attorneys free and the paralegals free to move around the crowd and meet their referral sources and introduce their best referral sources to other partners they hadn't met and also to people in the community with whom they thought it would be valuable for them to meet. So that was a very nice open house event. Might be a little bit more elaborate than what you would have in mind or what you might do, but if there's anything in here that is inspirational to you, you know, steal these ideas. We want to throw out a lot of examples to inspire you to come up with a good event or an approach to the holidays that is your signature approach.
You know, one of the things I'll just let you know on this call, we I think most people know on this call, the Graduate Network, know that we have a Rainmakers program. And in the Rainmakers program, we do a series of calls every month on subjects. And we did this for them not long ago. And after we did it, we thought this was so critical that we had to share it with the graduates because so few of us, and I guarantee your competition won't be doing this, take good advantage of the holiday opportunities. Again, so when Sean and I go through these, you might say, well, no, I wouldn't do that. Yes, I might do that. That sounds a little corny. All I want you to do is sort of get some ideas, you and your team, to get some ideas of what you might do. So, again, all the things Sean and I are throwing out, you may think, well, that's corny. I wouldn't do it. That's okay. Get the one that you would do. Because I'll give you another. One of our rainmakers out of Mississippi, what he did was interesting. He chartered a bus for the holidays, and he loaded the bus up with hot chocolate, candy, holiday music. And what he would do is in the evening, he took a group of his clients and his referral sources clients, referral sources and their children, and he took them on drives to look at Christmas and Hanukkah lights in the quiet neighborhood. So, you know, in a lot of neighborhoods through the holidays, they set up these great extravaganzas of houses set up with all the lights in certain neighborhoods are set up better than others. Well, he rented a bus and he filled it up with all of these goodies. And they took them around, and they had a time to talk and look, and then when they dropped them off at the end, they dropped them off at an event, and they had hot chocolate again. So it was a great way just to connect and let them know it was a good reason to connect with their referral source.
And also a great way to involve the kids. And in that case, it just happened to be a particularly favorite holiday memory of his, driving around and looking at the lights. So he kind of expanded that to become the theme for his event. That may not at all be exciting to you or interesting to you, but listen to this next idea. We have a firm, and think about your own situation in your own towns and cities. We have a firm that sits on the edge of a park in their downtown area, and the park always puts on holiday concerts. So this firm takes a piggyback approach, and whenever there's a holiday concert, they invite a certain number of clients and referral sources who they handpick to park at their office, use their parking, come into the conference room, have some holiday snacks and some eggnog, and then everybody walks across the street to the park and attends the free concert in the park. So very inexpensive, very few logistics involved. If you're situated near something where you can take advantage of an event in the community, this might be the approach for you.
And remember, we're looking for opportunities to connect to our clients and referral sources, and the holiday just gives us a slew of them. We had a sole practitioner, and her husband was an architect, and he had done a great job in restoring a historic home in a historic district. And it was all, you know, it's a very desirable area, desirable house for people to see. So what she did is they planned a series of Hanukkah-themed menus and invited a mix of their referral sources and a few special clients to join them. And what they would do is have separate evenings. So they wouldn't do it. They would able to take three or four events over the course of the holidays in small parties. So they would have small gatherings where they would introduce a referral source to a client or a referral source to another referral source. But they also introduced them to some of their rituals that went on. And it was actually educational and fun for a lot of people. So it was another good thing they could do. Again, you're trying to create things that you can connect to and you can have fun with and that's more natural for you.
And we're really giving you all these examples to make a point. And that point is, no matter where you live or how much money you have to spend, there's really a lot of different ways to market yourself with style over the holidays.
Yeah, you may not want to throw a holiday party, but there are other ways to acknowledge referral sources, to meet new referral sources, and raise your profile. You know, one thing that, I think we've seen people do is you can invite people are going to start inviting you to holiday events. So you may not be having one, but you're going to notice people start inviting you to them, and you've got to be prepared for them. So there, you know, you got to start thinking about how I want to prepare myself for these events, and we'll talk about that. But while you don't host one, you're going to be invited to them, and you got to think about these events.
So tell us a little bit more about the firm that held the open house, Mark.
Which firm are you talking about, Sean?
This is the firm in Calgary, and in fact, I'll tell you a little bit about them myself. They had their open house because they had a really successful year, and they wanted to be sure their clients and referral sources felt appreciated for the part they played. So as we mentioned, they used students from the Culinary Institute to cook and serve, and they managed to create an elegant event for really only a couple of $1,000. So it may sound expensive to you, but the referral sources and clients they had invited had probably sent them in excess of $1 million worth of business in the prior year. So they were really looking at the investment in this particular party as a way of expressing their appreciation for all the business that had been sent. So let's go back to also talking about the guy that rented the bus and stocked it with candy and drinks. They wanted to do it because it was a happy memory for the particular attorney, and they felt it would generate really a lot of goodwill among the families of their clients and their referral sources. They got a lot of good comments. People said that they really enjoyed it, and they enjoyed the fact that there was something that they could do with their children. We can also talk a little bit more about behind the scenes for the attorney that hosted the small dinners with her architect husband. She was able to keep the dinners elegant, but she kept them also simple, and her costs were a lot less than if she'd taken people out to dinner. Plus, in this case, she made it a point to entertain both her husband's referral sources and a mix of her own referral sources, which made it interesting for both of these professionals who are married. They were able to divide the expenses, but those in attendance really appreciated meeting some of the new people and interesting people with whom they could network.
Well, Sean, let's also go back to some of these people that aren't hosting their own event.
Okay.
People that are going to go visiting. They're going to be invited to holiday parties, those sort
okay.
of things. So the thing you want to think about with the events that you're going to be invited to, these are target-rich environments. In other words, they're great opportunities for the person who attends these kind of events, as long as you're willing to mix and mingle a little bit, to meet new referral sources and potentially new clients.
You know, I give my clients a secret agenda to take with them to events. I give them goals to meet while they're at these particular parties, because these are, as Mark said, really environments that are rich in the opportunity to meet new people. So their goals might include meeting three new people who could be potential referral sources, or I might give them the goal of spending substantial one-on-one time with people that they already know, say existing referral sources who might be in attendance, or I might give them a goal of handing out five of their cards, or giving their laser talk five times at the party, or issuing three lunch invitations during the course of a particular party. I happen to see every event as a platform for creating the next event. As we know, forming relationships with people is really the process of going from one event to the next, one event feeds the next, and at each event you can have a conversation that allows you to build more rapport and get to know your referral sources better. So I often load my clients up, as I said, with these extra goals on how to, you know, work a party and take advantage of this opportunity.
So it's an important element. If you're working with a practice advisor or you have a marketing assistant, you have somebody that's at least coaching you or supporting you or some level of accountability, you're going to have to create a game of it and actually give yourself targets. And it's actually having these targets that make things happen. So if you had a target to meet five new people at one of these events, then it's going to start you to be a little bit more intentional than you would if you just went there with no agenda and just let it sort of drifted through the party. So no, we want to engage and get to know people. So another thing you can do as a marketer, you can even ask the host of the event to introduce you to a couple of new people. So when you get there, you might say, listen, I don't know a lot of people here. Would you introduce me to a few people? And you might even, if they're friends or other, if they're, the host is a referral source, they know the kind of people you might need to meet. You might even mention to them the kind of people you're trying to get to know. This is a very intentional, focused way to use the holidays. These kind of social events really are ripe with opportunity.
Let's also talk about the opportunity to thank and acknowledge your referral sources and referring clients when they send business. For many people, they neglect doing this during the year, so the end of the year is really a good chance to catch up.
Yeah, I remember one of our Rainmakers, that's in the Rainmaker program, wasn't going to be around during the holidays, and they still needed to acknowledge their referral sources and people that had sent them referrals from the beginning of the year. So he used his imagination and came up with a great solution. He had his secretary inquire into his clients and referral sources, that you talk to their secretaries, and find out what they liked and how they celebrated special events or the holiday, how they celebrated the holidays. He then, while he was away, he made sure his secretary purchased gift certificates for the referral sources and their families to dine in their favorite spot. So if they like to go out to dinner or they like to do this, he made sure that their secretary took care of this, even if he was going to be away. Or sometimes if they knew where they were going to be, they'd have a bottle of wine sent over for a holiday gift.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, in case people are not comfortable in spending a lot of money and purchasing the entire gift certificate, just having a bottle of wine at their table might be kind of a nice alternative.
Well, yeah, a bottle of wine. And really, what we're trying to do is we're trying to create some memorability during the holidays. You know, because really, there's a lot you can do, but you want to be remembered. There's a lot of cards going out. There's a lot of activity going on, but you want to be able to do things special. So these personalized touches will often win a great deal of goodwill with your referral sources and clients.
And they don't have to be expensive,
no.
You know. A little bit of money spent on some small gift certificates or a bottle of wine, it really can be a good way to generate this goodwill. And when you consider it as kind of an investment, when you measure it against the high value cases your referral sources send each year, it doesn't have to be much. But if you make it meaningful, that's the way to make it most impactful.
Well, and, you know, we've talked about the types of things you can do, and Sean and I have given you a number of examples. But, you know, another question is, what referral sources should I invest in for the future? So you may have some that have sent you business, but there's also looking to develop others. Well, what you may want to do, and you can take this as an action item, is list out the referral sources that have sent you the most business this last year. Add those referral sources who have sent some business but are also positioned to send more. Then list out your past and present clients who refer a significant business or have a great deal of reoccurring work. So it's a way to start formulating your list of who you're going to send gifts and cards to.
And, you know, since the time you can spend on marketing is limited, the best way to make sure that your actions are most leveraged is to really focus your attention on those individuals who either have a good track record with you or a great deal of potential.
Yeah, and so to get started on this, what you may want to do is examine your list to see whom you'd like to get to know better. And while giving gifts is great from an acknowledgement for the referral source, there's really no substitute for getting together face-to-face with people and acknowledging them and thanking them for the business that they've sent you this past year. So I want that to be clear. It's good to send out gifts and cards and all of those things. But it's better to be able to get it face-to-face because it's a top-of-mind awareness. It's a referral connection or a relationship connection. It has the ability to get a referral out of it. But you get to thank them in person for their confidence in you, their trust in you, and the referrals that we've sent you. They've sent you in the past year.
You can say things like, you know, I've been looking at all my referrals for the last year, and I want to let you know how much I appreciate all the business you send, or I really appreciate your continued faith and confidence in me. You've sent me a lot of business this year, and I really appreciate it. I want you to know I'm always going to take very good care of the clients you send. And these simple acknowledgments can be used in a variety of different settings. If you take somebody out to lunch, if you take somebody out to dinner. For most of our most productive rainmakers, when they begin to treat their referral sources like friends, they generally create a level of rapport that is very productive, you know, both in terms of friendship and of sending business back and forth. So Mark, what about those referral sources, though, that you'd like to acknowledge with maybe a small gift?
Well, you know, the possibilities are endless here, and it's great if you can find out a little bit more about your referral source. If anything that you can personalize is better, but there are plenty of sources out there, and there's some of the typical things. A number of our rainmakers will work with things like Omaha Steaks or stuffed turkeys delivered to their best referral sources. And some of them get known for this, and people actually wait for it each year. So they do these each year, and people actually get known, and you know, you'll see your referral sources kind of eager to get your gift for that year. Some referrals that come from staff members, they'll recognize referral sources from the staff members who work with other referral sources. So, again, you'll have your staff will recognize some other law firm staff or some other referral sources staff. And often you may just want to do that yourself, but you'll send them chocolates, cheese, nuts. And you've got to be careful with this. A lot of people are starting to pay more attention to their diet. So sometimes while they eat the chocolate, it's not always that liked or the cookies. I mean, you know what I mean? It's liked, but somehow.
Sometimes a fruit basket can be a healthier choice if you know a particular office that you want to acknowledge is watching their weight or whatever. You know, something healthier like a fruit basket can be appreciated.
Those are good. And also, we talked about trying to personalize things. And remember, in marketing, you're getting to know more and more about your referral sources over time. So you're collecting information on their hobbies, their interests. And so this can be a very personable and memorable way to say thank you. So if someone's into photography, you might give them a book on photography, and that'll speak volumes in and of itself. If someone's into mountain climbing, you might give them a GPS, an inexpensive one. Because, again, we also want to be careful. In most of your states, you've got to check with your ethics and your bar rules because you can't go too far over the top. Now, this isn't a direct acknowledgement of a tit-for-tat referral, but you've got to still be careful and make sure you're paying attention to your bar ethical guidelines. And, you know, if someone's into something like good scotches, then you might want to send them a bottle of scotch or give it to them in person. Some people have signed their referral sources up for Wine of the Month Club because they're wine enthusiasts. So matching your gift to your referral source's preferences is highly memorable. And it's just a great way to say thank you for remembering them and sending you for them remembering you and sending you business over the years.
So hopefully by the time you get ready to start planning, which we encourage you to start planning immediately, you'll still have time to identify your best referral sources and plan whatever approach you're going to take to reflect the appreciation that you have for their continued business.
Yeah, and remember this. If you need any additional motivation, I want you to consider this. Consider the lifetime value that a referral source who faithfully sends you business clients year after year and how much that can add up to. For most of you, that could add up to thousands, possibly tens of thousands of dollars worth of business over time. So, you know, some of you are litigators and you might have a case worth $30,000, $40,000. and someone sent you a referral source over a couple of years and those are turned into business, well, those are people that are absolutely worth acknowledging and having them remember you and creating memorable activity to them. Never underestimate the worth of a referral source. They are literally putting money in your pocket, and they should be thought of as a critical path to growth for you. And for some of you in the market, we're in survival of your practice.
But let me also talk more about the face-to-face approach. I have a client, a number of clients also, are in addition, who are into golf. And, of course, you know, for my clients in Florida, golf is pretty much year-round. It may or may not be the case for where you are. But I have clients that take the face-to-face approach, and they take their referral sources out golfing over the holidays. For you, if you're in a cold weather like location, it might be something else. It could be a concert or some other kind of an outdoor event that you may enjoy, and you may know that your referral sources enjoy. So look around at what community events are out there and what you might be able to invite somebody to extend this sort of face-to-face opportunity.
You know, a little extra effort over the holidays can make up for a lot of being neglectful or lack of gratitude that you've shown during the year. So I want to think about this for a second. You've got Thanksgiving, you've got the you've got the Christian holidays, you've got the Jewish holidays, you've got New Year's. You've got a lot of time. By the way, Thanksgiving's a great time to do it, to sit down and really thank people for what they've done for you and how you can help them next year. So I would be scheduling a number of appointments right now, getting them on the calendar, to even if you're not going to host an event, go to an event. But you could sit down, do breakfast and lunches through the end of the year, starting at Thanksgiving, thanking, acknowledging people. Sean, maybe we could go through the three-tiered approach.
Okay.
To a three-tiered approach to their holiday gift-giving and breaking up sort of their client base and referral base.
Okay. The three-tiered approach, simply put, is sort of customizing the various level of gifts or acknowledgments that you will do for various people in your practice. So for your top 20, this, of course, is the group of referral sources who send you your best business most frequently, and hopefully the same that have the potential to send you a great deal more business in the coming year. Those are the people that you would want to take the most time with, taking them out to lunch, dinner, breakfast, personally acknowledging them, thanking them. Short of that, if you can't manage the face-to-face, which of course we say is the most effective, you know, buying them some sort of gift that's customized to you know, a small book on something that they like, a bottle of wine that they like, or a fruit basket for the team if you know that they, you know, would like something healthy. Taking the most time and the most personalized approach to the top 20 gift or top 20 group really gives you the opportunity to leverage your marketing time over the holidays, which we know is going to be short. So the next group would be the farm team. And with the farm team, you might isolate those people that you think have the most potential to send you business. And you might get together with them, perhaps on a face-to-face basis, or you might send something nice, maybe not as nice as what you sent to the top 20 group, send something over to them. But they would also get a gift card from you, perhaps a Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year type card.
Sean, let me just make a distinction for people that aren't familiar with this. I think almost all Atticus graduates are, but we separate your referral network into the farm team and the top 20. The top 20, obviously, are the 20, we counted actually a number 20. There's 20 people on your farm team, I mean your top 20 list. But it's usually 20% of your referral sources generate 60 to 80% of all of your business. And so we pay particular attention to them, and they get the personalized gift, as Sean is saying. The farm team is everyone else in your referral network. In some of you, that farm team could be, and it's a baseball term. It means we're working on them to bring them up to the big league. So you're actually cultivating your farm team. And your farm team's not created equal either. There's some of those that are new to your farm team and perhaps have a lot of potential. They just haven't started sending you enough referrals, but you can see they're going to be good. And then there's people that have been on your list forever, and every once in a while they send you a referral. So one of the things that we're going to suggest, and you want to take a very close look at sending out cards this year. Sean and I are an advocate for getting cards out to your top 20 and some of your farm team and some of your clients, especially if you can do it over Thanksgiving. And the reason is during Thanksgiving, your card will stand out. If you can get it there before everyone else is, at least it stands out. Usually, any cards you send out throughout the Christmas holidays are really buried with a lot of other cards, and you've gotten them yourself. You've looked at them, said, that's nice, and you put it in the pile. So they have very little, this is usually, sending out cards takes up a lot of time and a lot of energy, but they have very little memorability impact. And so we would say that it's an okay idea, but don't go crazy trying to send them out to everyone. And this may be a relief for some of you, because they just don't have the marketing impact that you think they do, and you feel guilty or obliged to do it. It's not necessary to do it for everyone. So I'm sorry, Sean, we said the farm team?
Yeah, the farm team, you might give them cards. And maybe you send your top 20 and your farm team cards with, you know, more personally done handwritten notes to make them a little bit more personal. And then for your clients, some firms are, as Mark said, very committed to sending out cards, but we would encourage you to look at sort of an off-holiday, like a Happy New Year card or a Thanksgiving card, so that your cards are not lost in the crush of cards that arrive for the Jewish and Christian holidays. So what you want to do to pull all of this off, because as we're talking, I'm sure you're thinking, good God, this sounds like a lot of additional work. You want to tap your marketing assistant, if you have one, or a receptionist or a paralegal, someone with a little additional capacity that you can use in this particular, in these efforts. Because you really want a project leader for the holidays, more of an administrative person. This isn't the best use of an attorney's time. The attorney wants to be in on the planning stages. You want to decide what your approach is going to be, you know, whether or not you're going to do a face-to-face sort of approach over the holidays, whether or not you're going to take more of a small gift approach over the holidays, if you're going to send out cards at all, which cards are they going to be. You know, there's some logistics involved here. So you want to tap somebody that you can delegate all of the calendaring and buying and logistics to, so that you do not have to spend your time doing this. And, of course, pick your holiday. You know, you're going to put more of an emphasis on Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, the New Year. Figure out what for your firm is the most appropriate and what's most doable. If you're getting a late start, the New Year might not be a bad way to go, because you have a little bit more time leading up to New Year's Eve than you do to Christmas or Hanukkah.
We actually have people taking advantage of the Halloween event. We have somebody that does a Halloween party every year, and she actually has a lot of fun with it. She has a lot of attendance. They send out great invitations, and people love to go to it. So it's not just the Thanksgiving or the Hanukkah or Christmas holidays, or even New Year. By the way, if you miss the opportunities for the holiday, or you don't want to be burdened through that, use the New Year as an opportunity to make appointments with some of your key referral sources. Sit down and say, as we go into the New Year, I just wanted to spend some time thanking you for your confidence, for your trust in us, and for the referrals you sent last year. That's really what I want to do, is take you to lunch and thank you. That in itself is going to start giving you a little burst of referrals, believe it or not, and you're outside of all of the craziness of the holidays. The key is, do something. That's why Sean and I want to do this call now in October, is so that you have time to plan. It will not happen unless you get a project leader on this, so you have to appoint someone. Their first task is to start to put together the list of people and what we're going to do for each of those people. We're either going to invite them to an event, we're going to send cards, we're going to send gifts, and we want to start deciphering that right now. Then you want to put them in charge of making sure that is happening. And if we're going to have an event, And you may have an internal holiday party for your team, but you also want to think if you're going to have an external party for your referral sources and clients, make a commitment to that. Or if you're going to go to an event yourself, you're not going to host one, but you're going to go to them, make sure you're setting targets, as Sean said earlier. How many events are we going to go to? Make sure the calendar stays open. Make sure that our family is prepared that we're going to do some of these events. Or if we're going to have small events like dinners at our house, get your partner, your spouse prepared for that because, you know, that takes some planning to happen. All of this takes planning, and that's why we wanted to get you started early. So what I'd like to do now, Sean, is I'd like to take it off of the lecture mode
Okay. And
see if we can open it up for questions. So what I'd like you to do is if you have a question, I'd like you to be to ask the question about how to get to work for you. And secondly, if you've got a plan for the holidays, I'd like to hear it. So just give me a second to unmute us. It will take just a second. Okay, so we're open. The call is now open, and if you have a question about holiday marketing or you want to talk about your game plan, go ahead.
Mark?
I can hear someone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Spencer Ehrenfeld. Did I cut somebody off?
Hey, Spencer, how's your presidential race going?
Well, it's going pretty well. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Spencer's running for president of all the attorneys in his county.
He's running joking me. I sent out a mass email that had it made it look like I was running for president. So.
Right.
It was just to try to get some top-of-the-mind awareness.
How did it work?
It worked. It was my highest received email in the history of my mass emails. I got about 700 and something opens.
Wow. Out of how many?
About six or seven people reported me as spam.
That's good.
I sent out a mass email yesterday about which candidate would be a better candidate if you were injured, and that one only got, I think, 300 or 400 opens. And the presidential one was by far my best one.
That's good.
Anyone
good.
Who wants it, just send me an email and I'll forward it to you. So what I've been doing for the last several years, I think unsuccessfully, is I've been hosting a menorah lighting ceremony here in Coral Gables, which has a really big Christmas park with a Santa Claus and animals and things like that. For probably some constitutionally impermissible reasons, they don't allow me to put the menorah in that park. So they've given me a grassy median near my office where I can put the menorah. And I had a couple of hundred people actually showed up last year for it.
Wow. That's pretty significant.
With live music, and we give out jelly donuts, and it's such a huge menorah, you actually have to climb a ladder to light it, and the mayor comes.
Wow.
But I've never turned that into anything that has directly or indirectly that I know have benefited my practice.
So you are tracking. You're tracking the people that come? How do you invite people to come to this?
I did it two ways. I put ads in the newspaper, and then I sent out a mass email last year, which up until my presidential nomination was my biggest email. And that's how I've been doing it.
This sounds like a large-scale event, and it sounds like one that's open to the public. Do you get to kind of work the crowd? Are you the one lighting the menorah?
I'm the master of ceremony, actually. I have the microphone. I introduce everybody. I invite dignitaries from the community to light the menorah.
Okay.
And this last year, I actually passed out coffee mugs and what else did I do? Passed out coffee mugs and something else. T-shirts or pens or something else. And that was it. And no one's ever mentioned it again and probably won't mention it until next
year. A lot of these things people won't mention. So we have to remember that some of these marketing things, people are not going to directly give us business right away or they're not going to say it, but it's an event like a piece of publicity that keeps us in the top of mind. It also puts us in a stratosphere away from others. So it's a reason to be able to connect with and bring your referral sources together using something that's important to you. So I'm saying this for everyone else, Spencer, that it's a great event. I think you probably get more notoriety than you recognize out of it. I love it. I think you should continue it. And, you know, it's it's a great thing to get a reason when you're with people doing a marketing lunch or a breakfast to invite them to it, talk about it, let them know why you're doing it. I think it plays very well into your practice.
Yeah, between now and then, every lunch or conversation you have with a referral source, you can drop in an invitation, you know, to come to this thing. You could even create a charity tie-in if you wanted to and have people bring wrapped gifts if you wanted to. I don't know if that complicates things for you or not.
No, it doesn't.
Might be a nice thing to do. And, you know, you could also work the crowd a little bit more. I mean, I know being master of ceremonies is going to take up part of your time, but you might find some way to acknowledge or highlight some of your referral sources that are in the crowd.
Food and drink so that afterwards you mingle. And
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what that lady was saying.
Say that again. Somebody was talking about afterwards you mingle.
Oh, yeah. And the last year I had what I called an after party and invited everyone back to my house where we served like cocktails and things.
Great.
But this is perfect. I actually think, Spencer, this is perfect. I think you get more marketing play out of it than you recognize. And marketing.
I love to think that's true, Mark, but I'm telling you, I've gotten, it's maybe my fourth or fifth year, nothing.
You're not going to, it's sort of like what happens is your referral sources are invited to these things. They're reminded more of you one more time. Some of them that if they have like interest and passion are going to say you're more like them and they like you. So they're going to send you, they may send you a referral later, but they're not going to tell you it's because they went to this event.
Okay.
What we're looking for in marketing is a way to stay connected. And
a way to stay top of mind, which I think this does very successfully.
And a way to brand yourself as a leader. And what you've done is you're putting yourself in a leadership position in the community.
Have you ever gotten press for this? Do you send out press releases?
I was in the newspaper article, a newspaper ad that I put in. Local, like, community newspapers have done a little snippet, but I haven't had, like, you know, Channel 7 there or anything.
Well,
let's
work on that this year. Let's see if we can get some additional press for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that might be a nice challenge, and maybe you can tie in a charity as
that's
well.
That's a brilliant idea. I've got to tie in a charity that's non-religious. I have gotten a few anti-Semitic comments from people about it. It attracts, if you can, you know, you can imagine quite a Jewish crowd. So,
right.
Having a non-religious, almost maybe something for like Iraqi war veterans or something, might be a good one.
Not
or
a bad one.
Give kids a chance. Make a wish or something like that.
What's that?
Make a wish foundation, which
one
fulfills.
Thing, maybe toys for kids whose families are serving in Iraq.
Oh, now that's interesting. I like that. That could be good.
I like that too. I don't know anyone that does that. I'm sure someone does, but maybe.
But it doesn't matter. You can do it too. So I love this, Spencer, and I would not stop doing it. I think you've got a ritual started up, and I think it's a great one. As long as someone else is managing most of it for you.
That would be great. So far, I've been the soup to nuts guy on that deal.
Oh, you need to delegate. Definitely. There should be enough of a system in place or enough of a system in your brain at this point that you can download this to somebody else.
I think
and
I
just
will
supervise
do that.
It.
And every year it's their job to pull it all together, make sure the press is being pulled in, make sure the and that's a good point what Spencer's making for everyone else on this call. Sometimes when you start these events, you're going to be doing the legwork a little bit. But over time, you're going to be able to hand this off to someone else. And by the way, at first, if you get the co-conspirator or project leader on it, they're going to do it ongoing.
They're going to do it what?
They're going to do it ongoing for you.
Okay.
They'll manage it for you. You'll show up and sort of be the star, but they'll basically manage it for you.
In fact, one year, which was the year before last, I couldn't make it. I was actually in trial. So
yeah.
I don't know what the hell happened, but I heard it was the best one ever. I was never there.
Well, that's good.
That was probably the only one I actually heard feedback on was the time I didn't go. I always feel, and I don't want to dominate this conversation any more than I have, but that I don't want to make it so overtly a marketing event for me so that I almost don't even mention me in it.
Well, if you're handing out cups with your name and number on it, that might be something you could stop doing if you don't want to make it overtly marketing.
I mean, when I have the microphone, I go up, I don't really talk about myself very much. I spend more time introducing the people that are there and
Yeah, and if I'm serving, I actually would go a little different with that, Sean. If I was serving hot chocolate or coffee, I'd put it in my cup and so and let people know it's a take-home.
Yep.
And do something, they clean them up afterwards, but they get to take them home with them. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. And if it's sponsored from the firm, I think the mayor or someone else can acknowledge the firm for the sponsorship of this. Whoever the charity event is, they can announce, they can do it, as long as Spencer
that's
isn't doing
approach.
It himself.
Yeah,
but
that's a nice approach.
Others, we want others to be able to acknowledge the firm.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Good job, Spencer. Is there anyone else that either has a question or they want to talk about their marketing program for the holiday?
This is Chip Waller.
Hey, Chip Waller.
I'm probably into leveraging my time a little too much and need to spend more taking people to lunch, but I try and do a couple of things after the new year. To send out to the existing clients and using the old life insurance person, a client, to, that's the best, most likely person to buy another insurance policy, to send out an estate planning letter to them, tell them about how the estate tax laws have changed, how they need to, you know, update or look at their wills or whatever. So the problem is if you've got 10,000, you know, clients, it's you don't want them all calling at once because you can't give them service. So, but try and do that after the first year. Another thing, to do the same thing with corporate clients, as far as every, I keep track of all the corporations, is I send out a letter saying, well, look, you need to have your annual minutes and meetings and so, and pay your annual fees. So I send one out to all my corporate clients. This is not really tied to the holidays. And then another lawyer gave me this idea. Of course, I don't have to send out too many this year, but on all real estate closing, I did a lot of transactional work. This year, it's way down, but to send to the sellers a copy of their closing statement because they're getting ready to do their income tax and say, you know, here's this, and also remind them to, if they haven't already, filed for homestead exemption, and also to the buyer. We send that to the buyer and then to the seller, getting ready to do your income tax. And so here's a copy of your closing statement to take to your accountant or whatever. So you've got to sort of keep track of that stuff. And hopefully my staff's been putting them aside all year long like I directed, but I don't know if they have or not. But I appreciate whether or not I take any of your ideas. The main thing is you got us thinking about it and coming up with a list of referrals. So,
well, Chip,
that's just a couple of thoughts on how to do it. I'm sort of not much on the newspaper type deal. I sort of like direct who needs my services. So.
Right. Well, your practice lends itself to a lot of year-end activity, which is pretty good.
It sounds like you do a lot of top-of-mind awareness that's more business-oriented than festively oriented, holiday-oriented. Chip, do you go to a lot of holiday gatherings?
Well, I wrote that down for me to network, but I get invited to almost all the other lawyers in town parties rather than too many of my clients' parties, so, you know, I have a hard time stealing their clients while I'm there, their referral service. So
yeah, we don't
usually,
want you to do that.
I don't spend a lot of time there, but I've been known to work a crowd, but usually since they're paying, I usually don't try and siphon off too much of their business.
And that's a good approach. Thanks for bringing that up. I think that's important to mention. But maybe you can do more one-on-one, taking people to lunch, perhaps, referral sources to lunch over
Mr.
the holidays.
Mr. Powers, that was his mantra, was get out from behind your desk.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to do that is, like trying to take a banker to lunch, you know, because they're always picking up the tab. So when trying to do that and take a realtor to lunch.
A couple of things, Chip, I think that would be interesting for you to think about. Again, it's going to take a project leader on your team. But you might have you and Pat host a couple of small dinners at the house and invite a few of your key referral sources. This is, by the way, anyone that's doing real estate, Chip does real estate and some estate planning, But anyone that's doing real estate knows the market's slow. But now is the time to use that extra downtime to be connecting with our referral sources, staying engaged, listening to their sob stories. And when the business picks up, and it will pick up, we want to be first there, really connected, because the market's going to shift. And those that are staying connected to the referral sources through the tough times are going to do well. So inviting them to a small dinner engagement, have maybe two or three of them. If I'm not, Chip, isn't your birthday in December?
Yes.
So you could even do a birthday dinner. I've had an attorney do his own birthday dinner, and he invited 40 people to it. And he's paid for the whole dinner, and he said, the only gift I want you to bring is your favorite book. And he excluded things like the Bible or, you know, religious books, because everybody wants to do that. But bring your favorite book as a gift. And it was a great dinner. So they celebrated his dinner, but they sat with other people. He got to go around to all of the tables, and they brought a gift. Now, they brought a book, and which brought up a lot of conversation. I could even see a holiday event around that. But the key for you, Chip, is there's got to be some consistency. We've got to get 2-3 times a week, especially during the holidays, someone on your team, I don't know if Jody's still with you, but making a list of people that can that we're going to target throughout the holidays is probably the first step for you all.
Well, I think that, I've got the hamster on the wheel, so now I just got to get the button gear and get it done and get somebody on it. So, but in any event, I appreciate your including me on these calls, and I'll bail out so that somebody else can
speak
with you. But I think your hour is about up. So
it is, Chip. Thank you for that. And our hour is up. So what I do want to do is let everyone know to just get something moving. It's sort of what Chip is saying. Nothing's going to happen unless we just get something on, something scheduled. Delegate to somebody. Get a marketing assistant. Get somebody moving on something.
Choose one of the things that we talked about today and say, if I do nothing else, I will at least do this. And, it could either be an addition to something you're already doing, a modification to something you're doing, or it could be something you're doing for the first time.
And don't get too crazy about holiday cards to everyone in your database. Choose them well, and then focus on your personal things where you can. With that, yes.
I'm sorry. As far as the holiday card, do you recommend having a custom-made card that, you know, the picture of the whole firm standing there by the Christmas tree? Or?
Yeah, I do like that. What I do like is something that's memorable. If I'm going to send out a card, I like to have it handwritten, and I like to have it memorable. Otherwise, it's just getting stuffed in with all the others. That's why we like to get it out at Thanksgiving as a thank you, or get it out
for the new year.
For the key people. But again, it's being blended in with everything else. A picture usually stands out a little bit more. It's a small top-of-mind awareness, but again, it loses its punch when it's blended in with everyone else's. So,
but if I'm custom making a card, I mean, wouldn't I make a couple thousand of those and just send it to everyone? Or?
You can. Again, what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with doing it. Most people, it takes up a lot of time and a lot of resource to do it.
Yes.
And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying it's not the best use of your money to send them to everyone.
Okay, so better order 50 of them and just send them to my best.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, if you're going to send out 1,000 of them, someone's got to put that list together, someone's got to stamp it, and you've got to, you know, you've got a 60 cents or whatever it is now to send something in the mail with the envelope and the card. It's a 60 cent or a dollar hit per person. And by that, you know, you could have taken five of that, that's $10,000 or $7,000. If you're sending it out to 1,000 people, that's $700 to $1,000. I could have used that $500 for a lot of lunches, dinners, and breakfast if I only did half those people.
Okay, well, that makes sense to me.
Gang, I'm sorry to rush you. We're at the end of the call, and I want to make sure we can complete because you're all going to have to get off the line. So with that, we'll be talking to you through the rest of the year, and we hope you have some great holiday events, and we look forward to working with you for a long, long time. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Much.